Judges 6, 1 through 6, verses 11 through 16. It is on page 223 in your pew Bibles. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkey. They came up with their livestock and their tent like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the land of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave them your land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites or those whose land you live, but have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah and belonged to the Joash and Abiezerites, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where are all of his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you."
I'm going to invite you right now to open up your Bibles. If you don't have it with you, to turn to your pew Bible in page 1068. And get your pencil and your paper ready, because God's going to teach each one of us something today. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and so I'm going to just dive right in. The Spirit alive in you. We're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture that we don't usually sit in and pay attention to. But today we're going to look at them because they are about God's call into our lives as believers and what that looks like. What that looks like for us to live alive in the Holy Spirit. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So today we continue in our series on the 12 Elam values that ground us as a church. Last week, Pastor Paul preached on being a grace-filled community. And today we are focusing on the value of being Spirit-prompted. Let's read it together. Because of the Holy Spirit's presence in and through us. Well, that didn't work, did it? Because of the Holy... Okay, let me read it to you, people. Because of the Holy Spirit's presence in and through us as believers, we are Spirit-prompted. We are called to be bold risk-takers who follow God's leading against all odds. We want to move out of our comfort zone for the sake of those we serve in Jesus' name. Is there an amen to that? Amen, amen. As we look at the Spirit's role, we will be studying that in the Scripture this morning, but I'd like you to take a look with me at Ephesians 2:10. We're going to weave these two scriptures together to get an understanding of how God moves in us for His glory, for His purposes. Because I'll tell you what, people, none of us got a free ride. None of us get to sit back and be a spectator. We are called to be participators in the grace. We are called to be alive in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's read together Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are God's handiwork. Some translations say masterpiece. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are God's masterpiece. On the wall in my office is this drawn in purple, beautiful woman. It's me. Ava drew it for me. I've got about 2-inch eyelashes. I mean, they are stunning. And I've got 3 stick fingers. But I want you to hear me. I am Ava's masterpiece. She knows I love her. She knows I adore her. And she sees me through these eyes of love. Well, guess what, people? You are God's masterpiece. Masterpiece. You are God's handicraft. You are God's handiwork. And that is who He sees us as. It's what God says about you. It's humbling, isn't it? Just humbling. You are God's masterpiece. Let's now read together Ephesians 3:20, which says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is within us. God the Father. God wants to do something great in you, something that so far exceeds your own expectations, something that exceeds your capacities. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. We like to treat Jesus like a genie in the bottle. When I went to see that movie, what's that new movie that's just out? Aladdin. Sitting there with my grandchildren, I thought, isn't that how we treat Jesus? If I just rub the lamp, you will appear and do whatever I need. The question that is written within our spirits as believers is, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? You are the one who sent your Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. By the grace of God, I am counted in that number. As I look around this room, I see my brothers and my sisters in Jesus Christ, that we are hidden in Christ. Our roots go deep in Christ. And the call on our spirits is, Lord, what can I do for you? It's not, God, I need this. God, I want this. God, give this to me. Though we can talk to Him about that. And the scripture shows us in 3:20, look at those words that are underlined. It's His power, the Lord's power, the Holy Spirit's power that is at work within you and me. I had a conversation with a man this morning who was feeling very ashamed about his behavior. Talked with him about changing, talked with him about his trying to keep his behavior in check, and reminding him it isn't about you. It isn't about you trying to control who you are and keep it in check. It's about giving it over to the Holy Spirit that His power may be at work within you. Amen. His power lifting you up. His power giving you life. His power alive in you. Amen. And then we prayed. And I brought him to the Lord. And prayed over him, and I told him that when I see him this week, I will pray over and bless his hands, and we're going to consecrate his hands, and we're going to give his hands back to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the work of God in him with power and with amazing grace. Our call to be saved, the privilege that you and I are saved, is a call to serve. We think so shallowly of it, don't we? It's a call to salvation. It's a call to forgiveness. It's a call to becoming like Jesus. But these scriptures are telling us, take it deeper. It's a call to serve. And so Ephesians 2:10, which we read earlier, says that you've been made new in Christ so that you can do the things that he planned for you a long, long time ago, before you even knew him. Can you imagine? Now, we don't get out of jail free cards. But I will tell you that I've discovered in my walk with the Lord, not a century yet, but I'm moving there, that there are seasons in our lives, there are children on our apron strings, and there are times when our health moves us into different arenas. Jeff and Michi and Anya and April have an opportunity within the bowels of Children's Hospital to be talking about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that never would have happened. Dr. Ed, nobody would come up to your clinic, knock on the door and say, I want to talk to you about Jesus, because that isn't how it happens. But by grace, God is with them. By grace, God is leading them. And by grace, they are inside of a hospital where his power is at work within them. Can I get an amen for that? And so while we pray for her health, while we pray for Holly's health, we pray that God may put the words in you, Randy, to be talking about who this Savior is to a world that's otherwise lost and does not know him. That's powerful work. And that is the work of the Spirit alive in you, Randy. That's the Spirit of, that's the work of the Spirit alive in each one of us people. Here at Elam, we all have a role to play in the body of Christ. We come together in a unity of the Spirit and we get things done. The Holy Spirit is alive in this room, in every one of you who have said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone. Not just the ones who have the degree and the title. Every one of us, in different ways, in different measure, in different ministrations, in different varieties, as we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. None of us as believers has the opportunity to coast. None of us has the opportunity to let somebody else do the work of the church. Shirley, you go do it. I know you're capable. Bonnie Johnson, you're so capable, you go do it. Judy Mosman and Steve, you're so capable, go do it. That isn't what the scripture says. I am called to be an active participator in the work of the ministry because it's his work, his power that is at work in me. What do you want to ask God? In the last couple weeks, I've heard secrets of the heart. In the last couple weeks, I've had people call me and say, this is what I really want to do. For a minute here, we're going to be quiet. And for a minute here, I want you to think about that one thing that you want to ask God to do through you and write it on your bulletin. It's not for anybody else to see. But take a minute and think it through. If you don't take the time to ask with expectation, how will you know that God has been able to immeasurably more than you ask or imagine do it in you? to pour his power in you and to accomplish it in you unless you write it down. I was not looking to do Hope Avenue. And for those of you who have heard my story 12 years ago, I was very much a Jonah, get me out of here, Lord. I did not learn about this type of stuff in seminary. I never had a class on how to reach into those who are impoverished. Never had it. I was afraid. I like to do things and do them right. I didn't know how to do this. And God looked at me and said, it's you. And I've asked you. He spoke that to me through our friend John Carlson. Because I sat in pastoral staff meeting after I preached the sermon. And Pastor Joyce came into the meeting and said, the congregation wants to know what we are going to do about those experiencing homelessness. And I said, well, I don't have any experience in it. I'm not able to do that. And she looked at me and says, well, you're the one who preached it. You're the one who's going to do it. So then my next best laid excuse came out, and I said, you know what, we're in between senior pastors right now, and we need to wait until we get a senior pastor in here who can decide if this is the direction that the church is gonna go. And John Carlson sitting in the back says, I think this is a perfect opportunity. And with that, Hope Avenue was launched. We didn't have a clue. Maydell Fennick looked at me one day and said, this is so chaotic. And I said, oh, girlfriend, you don't know the half of it. Didn't have a clue what we were doing. Jennifer, we prayed that we'd make it through that first winter. I had no intentionality of being here 12 years later. You guys, that's the truth. Never dawned on me that God would use me in this way with a ministry. Never dawned on me. Mark and Lorraine, here you are as people who come in to serve with us. God bless you. But here we are 12 years later. Last week I was at a conference in Palm Springs. When I was there, I found myself confronted by the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit asked me a year ago to establish a shelter. I know beyond a shadow that I heard that. Wrote it in my Bible when I heard those words. But on the team that is around me on the housing and shelter, I have some real alpha A's, or whatever you want to call them, real alpha personalities. These are people who are shakers and movers. And one of the people on that team is Sue Watlaw Phillips. Guess what? She's got 50 years of experience with the homeless. So I said yes to God, but I was waiting for her to step up. I'm at this conference last week, and God and I were having a conversation. And I had to come back into the meeting this week and repent to her and to say, I've been looking for you to lead this. And God has convicted me of that because God asked me to do it. So I stand before you today as a very real person with very real inadequacies, with very real impossibilities and lack of money. Oh my goodness, I think about lack of money all the time. But I am reminded in this scripture that our God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine. According to his power that is at work within us. Amen. A life, I was very much a Jonah. I find myself in Gideon today. Very much running from what God had asked me to do. But I turn around and look at you as my people. And I say, by the grace of God, I will follow the Lord with what he's asked me to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the resources. I don't have the abilities or the capacities. And so I look at you very honestly and say, pray me in. Pray me in, people of God. pray me in that together his power may be at work within us. As we turn to the book of Judges, many of you are familiar with who Gideon is. Let me give you some background. Gideon was a nobody. He was the smallest member in the weakest family in the smallest tribe in Israel. If ever there was a nobody, it was Gideon. He's the last guy in the world who might have thought that God would even move through him. The historical backdrop, as Patty read it for Judges 6, is that the Israelites have been in the promised land for 300 years. Joshua died 250 years ago, and in the ensuing 250 years, the Israelites have wandered, and they have begun to worship idols and other gods. Again, and again, and again. The sin just keeps going around. 7 years of oppression under a foreign enemy. Life has gone from being difficult to impossible. Everything Gideon has worked hard for in his life has been taken. He has nothing to show for it. Can any of you identify with that? Any of you find your lives stripped? Stripped of loved ones, stripped of possessions? Not enough to fill you at your belly, not enough to fill your bank account. You have been stripped, just stripped. And it's into this season, into these worst days, that God shows up. God shows up, and he calls Gideon into a new work. As the chapter opens, Gideon is not preparing himself for anything great. He is not intent on being a risk taker. He's not sharpening his knife. He's not preparing for a battle to kill all of the enemies. Where is Gideon? He's hiding. He's in a wine press threshing wheat. Is that how it goes? I don't think so. He's in a wine press hiding, threshing wheat. He doesn't want anybody to find him in there. He's living in fear. And it is into this hiding place that the angel of God shows up and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." No laughter, no humor, no sarcasm. Truth. Into this wine press, the angel of the Lord comes and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Surely Gideon laughed at being called mighty warrior and drowned that laughter out next with his doubts. "I can't do this. You've got the wrong guy." How many of you have ever said you've got the wrong guy? I have. I've heard it out of some of your mouths as you've gone to get a promotion. "I think they've got the wrong person. I don't know that I will do a good enough job in that." And we see that God doesn't even answer Gideon's complaints, his questions, but tells him to get moving. Go in the strength you have. Becky Hansen, you don't have it together. You don't have a clue how to run a homeless ministry. But I am going to tell you what Hope Avenue was birthed out of. She was birthed out of deep pain in my life when my husband left. And my heart was broken. That was Easter. And Hope Avenue kicked off the ground that following December. And I have heard the pain of people's hearts in a fresh way, because I tasted it. Gideon had forgotten how God blesses people. But remember that Gideon was the youngest member in the weakest family in the smallest tribe of Israel. And Gideon had another strike against him. He's not a church kid. You know who they are when your children bring them home from school. He's not a church kid. He did not grow up going to Sunday school. In fact, he comes from a family of idolaters. And yet God saw something in Gideon that Gideon himself could not see. A mighty warrior. God called him into it. God redefined who Gideon was. So what does our transformed life in the Spirit look like? So let me ask you, how do you define yourself? Do you think you've gone too far, or maybe not far enough, that you think God could possibly use you? Don't be surprised if God shows up in the middle of your circumstances to call you into your destiny. Why did God choose Gideon? Because he's God and he can. God can choose anybody. In fact, the Bible is full of anybodies who have been used by God. The Bible says that God chooses the weak to shame the strong. God chooses the simple to shame the wise. He chose Gideon because God knew Gideon better than Gideon knew himself. God saw things in Gideon that Gideon never even dreamed were there. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about an Old Testament story. The Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out at this time. There are biblical truths that weave their way through the Scripture and that have eternal value. Obedience to the Lord is one of those. And Gideon is an excellent example of someone who says, "No, God, go get somebody else. Go find Sam. I'm the wrong person." But where God says, "You are the one, go in your strength. Go with what you have." Now, the good news with that is that the church today, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us. The Holy Spirit lives in us, is alive in us. And the Holy Spirit, taking those verses from Ephesians, it's alive in us, moving in us, calling us to himself with his great power. He will do it inside of us. The Lord is with you, mighty, mighty warrior. Well, Gideon is the one who ends up defeating an enemy army of 135,000. 135,000 Midianites who were defeated by a man who didn't even sharpen his knife. And I'll tell you what, he didn't go to seminary, and God didn't send him to military school to get ready. God says, "Go in your strength." God says, "I will be with you." Think of those odds. Gideon's army initially was 32,000 men. That's a going odd. God whittled it down to 300 that Gideon might know that it was not in his power that he did this. And the rest of the story, well, it's about Gideon becoming what he was in God's eyes. I'd like to introduce to you Mark Gregory. Would you come up, please, Mark? Right there.
Is it on? You know, when Pastor asked me to speak on her sermon this morning about being spirit-prompted, I guess when I saw her Friday, I was she let me know that when that sermon, when what she was going to talk about came to mind. But for those of you that don't know me, you know, I was one of the first people that was on the street when she came out with her homeless ministry back 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And as I was transitioning off the street and wanting a place to come and give to the Lord because I was tired of living on the street, Elam was the place to come. Because when I think about, you know, all the people that passed me up on the street, Pastor Becky and Jennifer and Gloria Metz and Dwayne and all those, the Turnquist would come out on the street to meet me every week. So, you know, Elam was the place for me to come and give back. And ever since, you know, I've been doing that, giving back in the homeless ministry with Elam. I had opportunity to go over to India with Pastor Paul and some of the students from Bethel mm-hmm. University. We had 10 days over there. And I had opportunity to experience some homelessness over there and speak with some, you know, people that are doing good things over there. But, you know, I guess it was the interaction I had over there with the kids over there that it was just natural for me, you know, to do what I was doing. And I didn't think anybody was watching. But when we got back, I was asked to go into the kids ministry here. And when I think about what Pastor was saying here with being spirit prompted to come out of your comfort zone, that was something for me being, you know, spirit prompted coming out of my comfort zone because I have no formal training, you know. But when I think back at how I didn't have that opportunity to spend time with my daughter when she was coming up at that age where I'm spending time with the kids now, it's amazing that, you know, I have this opportunity. So, you know, I'm not going to speak too much longer because she only gave me a couple minutes to speak. You know, and I could talk a lot longer, but, yep. It's just what, you know, when I thought about doing the ministry with the kids, I had my reservations at first because I know a lot of people here see me walking around with the green shirt on, being on Hope Avenue all the time, but they don't know me, like, you know, being around their kids like that. So I'm so grateful that that opportunity has presented itself to me. I am having a great time up there. The kids are wonderful. And, you know, hopefully we'll be doing a lot of bigger and better things to come. So.
Well, we miss you downstairs.
Thank you, Janelle. I've heard, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just put that back a little. Thank you, Mark. When Mark got back, when the team got back from India, began with Pastor. When he said to me, the Lord's anointing is on Mark. Those children loved him and hung on him. Joyce DeHaan was the next one. Those children loved Mark. And so when he came in that first Sunday into Hope Avenue, I said to him, Mark, am I going to need to release you to the children's ministry? And Mark looked at me and said, maybe. But as God took Mark up to the children's ministry and the other door, God brought in Malik, who now is working alongside me in Hope Avenue. So by God's power and might, he has met the needs that we have. I want to briefly close out Gideon because there's a piece in Gideon that I want you to see. In verse 16, and I'm going to encourage you to go home and read this scripture as an individual or as a family. Look at it and see what it has to say. God will go with you. But I want you to hear that there was a cost in all of this for Gideon. There was a cost in all of this for Mark Gregory. There was a cost in all of this for the Hope Avenue community. There was a cost in all of this for me. To follow Jesus. We read in Judges 6:17-24 of Gideon's sacrifice of a goat. It was the sacrifice that he knew how to do. It was what he gave to God. To exalt God, to lift up his name, to praise him. But as God speaks to him, this is not the offering that God was looking for. And God says, there's another sacrifice that I want. I want you to clean house. I want you to remove the idols, the idolatry. Remember, Gideon's family was a family of idol worshipers. Gideon comes from a long line of idol worshipers. And in verses 25-27, we see that Gideon had to separate himself from the gods and the idols of his culture. Before God will use you in public, he wants to clean up your private life. Can you hear me? Before God will use you in public, He wants to clean up your private life by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that comes in you, works in you, and through you. It's a work that is focused on the Holy Spirit. It's a work that wants to be a part of your life, but you have to partner. I could have continued to say, oh God, I'm too busy. I've got grandchildren I need to watch over. I'm not able to do Hope Avenue. I could have let my inadequacies, my insecurities, and quite frankly, my lack of money keep me out of the race. And I will tell you that Hope Avenue, I believe, is blessed by the 12 years that this church has done this. But I'll tell you what, people, I've been blessed. I have been deeply, deeply blessed by my friends in Hope Avenue and the love that I have with them and for them. What are the idols that I'm talking about? What are the idols that Gideon of today would have? Maybe it's attraction of someone of the opposite sex that's got your mind and your thoughts. Maybe it's TV shows. My children tell me TV shows that I can't watch. Can you even imagine? Maybe it's your addictions. But God says, I want that stuff out of your life. And He's saying it to you this morning. I want that stuff out of your life, that there's room for me in you. That there's room for me to do the work in you that I want to do in you. You know what they are. They're the things that we spend our money on, our resources on. They're the things that keep us in the shadows that we don't want other people to know that we're doing. They're the things that keep us from becoming the men and women of God that He has called us to be. There's an interesting verse in Jonah 2:8. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Isn't that powerful? Ever heard that one? Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that can be theirs. Wow. Your hands are either hanging to the worthless idols of your life, but that is costing you something. They are causing you to forfeit the grace that God has for you. The grace of the Holy Spirit alive in you. God is not impressed by your ability. He's not impressed by your education or your status. After all, He gave it to you. He's not limited by your lack of resources. He's not limited by your inabilities. He is confident that you are the one that He wants to send. People of God here at Elim, read with me these verses that we have read before, that as the people of God here at Elim, you may be a blessing back onto the Lord, that you may be a blessing to your church. Let's read it together. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. The Spirit of the living God alive in you. Amen.